Welcome
to Master the Start, a podcast for young professionals where we interview business experts on how you can master the start of your life in business.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is the 14th episode of the Master the Start podcast presented by GoMahi.com, and we've got a great episode ahead for you guys. Today, we have Mark Norquist on the show. He is the owner and CEO of Greenhead Strategies, Greenhead Productions, and Modern Carnivore. Mark is a creative media and marketing leader with a spotlight on outdoor and conservation-focused organizations. Mark is passionate about connecting the message with users and ultimately creating results, aka sales. For 20 plus years, he's been helping companies, consumers, and employees connect in more meaningful ways through his role as a sales executive, marketing strategist, and entrepreneur. This is a digital media focused podcast, so settle in, subscribe to the podcast, comment on your thoughts about the show, and enjoy this week's episode of Master the Start. Mark, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bobby. Really appreciate it.
Of course. I'm laughing for everyone out there because Mark has all these things he needed to get ready before we could get going because he's so particular, most particular about sound. I'm going to just hop into that right away because you already said it. Why is sound important? You're in digital media. Tell us why it's so darn important.
Sound is important, more important than images, actually, for people. And I'm sure, even though my degree is psychology, and I'm sure there is some underlying factor as to why that is, I don't know exactly what it is, but people will forgive you for having a poor image. They won't forgive you if the audio quality is poor. And I think it's just that there is something about storytelling and the importance of transporting the person right there in the room with you. And that's a really important component. And so that's why I think audio is a critical piece.
Okay. Now we'll hop back to the beginning. Your backstory, I think, is pretty fascinating to me. I was looking at where you've been at, and we've talked in the past about Scout Media. And I need to dig into this because, I mean, if you think about it, we're trying to give students of business an opportunity to learn, right? And there is no better learning experience than what you went through at Scout Media. So first off, so you were the vice president of group publishing there, right?
Correct.
So first, quick summary of what Scout Media was.
Scout Media was a final iteration of a company that was originally called North American Media Group, which was a Minnesota-based company and started as a hunting and fishing magazine and membership club, lifestyle or affinity marketing, as we call it, membership club that grew into one of the largest direct mail marketing companies in the U.S. What the company did was really develop different market segments and created affinity programs for individuals within those areas of interest. So as an example, North American Hunter, North American Fisherman, Cooking Club of America, Handyman Club of America, and the list goes on and on. And these are all around specific interests that people had, consumers would have. Hey, I like home improvement, DIY, become a member of the Handyman Club of America. And so built into a very large company. At its height, it was probably a $500 million company, privately owned, family-owned company. Went through a series of sales and acquisitions where the final round was with private equity out of New York. And when I was there, I started there right before we made a shift and became Scout Media. And that was really taking a traditional print media and marketing company and turning it into a full digital entity. For anybody who is familiar with the media world, it's still changing to this date and in a lot of ways. And it was a great learning experience for me in terms of being part of that process and really understanding how we could turn that corner. Now, there were some things that were done well, and there were some things that were done very poorly.
So could you get into a couple of those things that were done well and then a couple of things that ultimately led a $500 million company to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy?
So some of the things that were done well, I would say, I mean, this is one of the best group of people I've ever worked with. The team I had there, their creativeness, their connection with these large audiences. You know, we had, depending upon the segment you're talking about, we had anywhere from 250,000 to 5 million loyal members in these clubs that would receive a magazine monthly or quarterly, that would share information and insights around their topic of interest. They would be able to buy products associated with that interest and engage with the community. We had a program called a product test program that didn't have the best name in the world, but it was really around having members say, yeah, I'd like to test products. And so we would have manufacturers send us X amount of a new product, and we would send it out to our members, have them test it and review it and say, hey, this is what I like about it. So there was a lot of great things about the organization. And in terms of the shift we did, transitioning to digital media was imperative. But I think from the standpoint of mistakes that were made, there wasn't enough appreciation for the existing audience and how these changes would impact them. And so literally going with certain segments from traditional print-based media to full-on digital media was a very startling transition for people. Another thing within the business model that made it difficult is that, created back in probably the 80s, was a membership model that included the opportunity to be a lifetime member. And there are many reasons as to why that was challenging, not least of which is the liability that creates in perpetuity for someone who says, I am a life member. I have rights to be a member for forever, for my entire life. And so those are the people that really were challenged with and did not like the change in direction of the company. So there was a lot of blowback. And I think the organization, in some respects, needed to move quickly, but didn't move in the right way. And so as a result, we had a lot of drop off in appreciation and satisfaction with the brand from the existing member base. And we didn't get to a new base of members who were more digitally savvy quick enough.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. So you really focused, and this is going to be very marketing heavy, digital media heavy podcast. So very specific here, because you should be the expert. What's really important in the digital media world? How do you capture an audience? How do you get their attention? It applies to every part of business, whether you're creating a marketing strategy, whether you're putting on a presentation, whether you're making a sales pitch. Really being able to capture that audience, I think, is essential to success. So how do you capture the audience? What's so important?
So there are fundamentals of marketing that I believe are true regardless of changes in technology. And then there are tricks and hacks within new technologies and new tools that come out. So in terms of garnering attention, you know, from a messaging standpoint with marketing, you need to make sure you've got a clear and concise message. That's always been true. What I think has changed with technology is that the time frame for when and how you deliver that message has greatly been compressed. So in other words, you need to get someone's attention in a matter of seconds rather than minutes. The other element within there that is part of marketing today that you didn't always have in the past is you've got multiple opportunities or touch points in which you can reach out and connect with somebody. And that repetition is key. And consistency of message across that repetition, because oftentimes your message is not going to resonate with someone until the 5th, 6th, 15th touch point, when it's finally going to click with the person. They're going to say, oh, I get it. I get what that company does now. And that could be of value to me. I think the consistency of message and the opportunity to be very clear on what your value proposition is or your call to action is important regardless of what medium you're using. Now, if you look at where digital media has gone in recent years and the shifting sands of algorithms of social media, of search, etc., you've got strategies a few years ago with online content where people were keyword stuffing. They were doing different tricks or hacks, if you will, to try to get their SEO up. The algorithms have gotten smarter and can sense that. How it does it, I don't know. Let's ask Mr. Zuckerberg or someone else. But they're able to suss that out, if you will. And so where we're at now from a marketing and a content standpoint with digital media, I believe, is a better place where there's an understanding within the algorithms and within the communities that quality content, quality value, and message are king and important. Using tricks like keyword stuffing isn't going to be the best approach for you. Just if you got something of value, you've created a product, you've created a service, you need to market it, take it out in the most authentic way. And if it truly does have value, you will be able to rise to the top and it will be successful for the merits of what it is. If you're clear on your messaging, clearness and concise messaging is paramount.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I can definitely relate to that. Now, can you tell us a little bit about Greenhead Strategies and Greenhead Productions? I don't know why I struggle to say that. And then maybe a little bit about Modern Carnivore, because that's underneath Greenhead.
Yeah. Okay. So when I left the corporate world or the big company world after Scout Media and created my own company, I had had my LLC for a while, Limited Liability Corporation, which for those of you who aren't familiar, if you're setting up your own business, if your state allows LLCs, is a very effective legal structure to use. And so the company or the LLC is Greenhead Strategies, and that is providing marketing and media services for other organizations. So we have clients ranging from energy and healthcare companies to city municipalities to state government and federal government, and really sort of across the board. Anyone who needs help with marketing. So we will go in and facilitate everything from branding, strategy meetings, all the way through to media production. So Greenhead Productions is more of the heavy production side of Greenhead, where we are oftentimes going in where a client has a need around producing digital media. Could be either in terms of doing social media management, doing blog content creation, as well as video production. We're very heavy on video production and using that as an effective tool, because I have a personal bias throughout my career that I'm very excited about where video has gone in recent years, and that's why I went heavy into that with the business, because there are few mediums that are as effective at sharing a story as video is. So we put a heavy emphasis on that. So everything from, you know, a few years ago, we did a three-part series for a conservation organization that's working to protect the boundary waters. It's called Sportsman for the Boundary Waters, to corporate About Us videos, to an energy company who was doing a rollout of new technology across the company and needed a way to share the information and orient people to this new technology. So we had some fun and created this whole humorous video series for that. So a lot of different things on the production side. And then the last is Modern Carnivore. And that's my personal baby within the company and where my passion lies. And that is utilizing marketing strategies and media engagement, specifically digital media engagement, to introduce people to the idea of hunting and fishing and foraging activities. And the reality is that, and so what the basis behind this is, we have a couple things going on. Number one, we have a dramatic decline in the outdoor hunting and fishing community, especially the hunting community, over the last 30 years. 1982, we had almost 17 million hunters in the United States. As of 2016, that number was below 11 million. And so dramatic drop in numbers. There are a lot of issues with that. Number one, it's a part of our American culture that I, as somebody who grew up doing it, am very passionate about keeping it as part of our social fabric. But one of the bigger factors, too, is that a lot of people don't realize conservation in America and protection of wild species and a lot of the work that gets done, the vast majority of that funding comes from hunters and anglers. And it comes from license purchases It comes from self-imposed excise tax through some legislation called Pittman-Robertson and Dingell-Johnson, which have been around for almost 100 years for Pittman-Robertson. And so with a decline in hunting numbers, we have less dollars for conservation. My personal mission is to bring more people into this community. And the way we do that is by connecting with people, a lot of times younger urbanites, who have a passion for real food. When I say real food, I mean organic, no antibiotics, no growth hormones, all of the local food movement, if you will. The message that we take out through Modern Carnivore is, hey, if you are passionate about that kind of food, you may want to, you know, raise chickens in your backyard if your city ordinance allows, or we can teach you how to go out, hunt, fish, and forage. And we're finding a lot of success with that message and people who are just passionate about learning how to do this. So we break down those barriers. We share stories. We released a film this fall called Awaken the Hunter Within, where we chronicled the journey of three adults on their journey into hunting for the first time. That's really the essence of it.
All right. I'm happy you could share that, because I was pretty curious about how you tied everything together. But I'm really interested, since you're so interested in video, I think a lot of people are doing video nowadays, as anywhere. Social media, that's essential in marketing strategies. It's essential in people's personal brands, the way that they share their lives. What makes a good video?
Really good question. So I presented on this topic at the Outdoor Blogger Summit down in Arkansas last fall. The key elements, I would say, getting back to what we were talking about earlier, there are technical components and there are content components, okay? Technically speaking, depending upon the type of video you want to do, determines what level of technical expertise and technical equipment you need. There is so much good quality gear out there these days, and obviously right here is one of them. I mean, there was a feature-length film called Orange Crush a couple of years ago. If you check it out, literally it was shot on an iPhone. Now, they had special add-on lenses and things like that that they used with it. But you truly have great tools right at your fingertips. Everyone does. And so look at what we're doing today with your podcast and with the video blog here. You know, this video quality it's totally acceptable. Is it ideal for a feature-length film? No, but it gets the message across. People can see you and me. So anybody who's interested, you can go into detail around that. So if you're going to be doing regular blog posts, yeah, you could literally, or video posts, you could be doing it with an iPhone, and that's great. I would say go out and look at some of the basics around how to shoot in terms of composition, in terms of lighting, et cetera. And again, there's a lot of great information out on the web for that. But you can scale it up to the nth degree. I've been doing it full time now for the last 4 years, and I feel like I know about this much. If you want to truly make like what we do, we're doing some feature length films as well as, you know, big corporate videos. There's always something new to learn every day. And that's the technical side of it. On the content side, that's where you've got three phases of if you want to think about it, on producing a video. No matter how simple it is, you should always think pre-production, production, and post. Pre-production is the most important, and that is planning out what your story is. Even if that story is as simple as giving people an update on an event that's coming up, on whatever it is, a new product you're releasing, what is the message you're going to deliver? And make sure you've articulated on paper or on a document, what is your call to action? What are your key points? Keep them brief. And then make sure you work through that a few times before you shoot that video, whether it's you talking or it's somebody else. That will help you not only in the aspect of shooting a video, but also in the post-production of being able to edit, if you're going to edit it, to edit in the most efficient way. Because post-production or editing something, that's the part that it's funny. Sometimes you'll talk with people, we'll have clients, we'll go out, we'll have a week-long video shoot and we'll get done. And these are, you know, very involved projects. We'll finish that process and some people will be like, whew, we're done. All right. I love that. And I'm like, no. The hard work's just beginning now. And that really gets to the edit on the back end. But again, the planning you do on the front end and pre-production will make the production and the editing on the back end, if you're going to do that, so much smoother. So do your work up front to make sure you plan a very concise message with brief points.
Sweet. That's exactly what I was looking for. I think it'd be valuable to do the quick fire questions, even though I don't know why we call them that, because they're not quick. They still end up taking just as long. But the weekly random question from our listeners, this is great. All right.
Okay.
This is the random one. This is the thing that doesn't fall into the same topic at all. What is something that is really popular now, but in 5 years, everyone will look back on and be embarrassed by?
You know, I've got young kids, so what comes to mind initially is, it's already gone, was fidget spinners. I don't know if they'd be embarrassed by them, but in 5 years' time, there's one thing that I think about a lot, to be honest, and that is I think there will potentially be a backlash on social media obsession because it's getting to a point where it's so distracting, you know, and maybe this is more a hope than a prediction, but people obsessing like this, well, yeah, okay, Bobby, my hope, I guess, would be that eventually is something that is totally verboten, that when somebody does that, that's just a faux pas that you should not do, that socially we start to suppress a little bit, because I think it takes away from the humanity of interactions with people.
So that's interesting. This is, now I have to ask more about that, because you are in digital media, you are doing marketing, and most people would argue that social media is the essence of strong marketing nowadays. Tell me about that.
So absolutely. It is a, I always say it's a bit of a love-hate relationship with digital media. I love it. It is such an amazing and powerful tool to be able to get messages out to people wherever they're at, when you want to, and in the most elaborate or simple ways. But I've got concerns about how far it's going. I'll give you an example. To me, this is for me personally with Modern Carnivore, this is the best example of it. We've seen media within the outdoor space get to the point of where people are out hunting or out fishing and they're filming everything. Okay. Yeah, here's my catch. And what that does is now we've taken it to the point. So Modern Carnivore has a mission: get more people outside, get more people connected to the natural world and understanding what it's about. We often say go from observer to participant. So if you love hiking, you camp, you canoe right now, or kayak or paddleboard, generally speaking, you're observing what's going on. Oh, look at that. Look at that waterfall. Oh, look at those birds. That's really great. When you become a hunter or a fisherman, you immerse yourself to that next level and you are connected to the earth and what's going on right now. You're reading the sign. You're looking for trails. You're watching the movement of the animal. You're understanding what species that is. You know that this other species is often in near proximity to that, and that's what you're going after. So you truly immerse yourself. That's the mission of what we do with Modern Carnivore. When we bring this into that experience, it pulls us out of the moment, okay? And so, well, it's an effective tool. I'm concerned about how much we use it. And I would be the first person to say, set it aside. I'm actually toying with the idea in 2019 of putting a campaign out there, a challenge to people to set these aside when they go to the outdoors. Does it have an appropriate time and place? Absolutely. Does it have times and places where it should not be out? Absolutely. And it should be just put away. And that's where I think, going back to your question, I think we're still in these early stages. It's a complete experiment we're doing on ourselves with how obsessed we've gotten around these digital devices. My hope is that we get to a point where it balances out and we understand where it's appropriate and where it isn't, and that there's social repercussions if you use it inappropriately.
That's awesome. I like that a lot. I mean, it's a tough challenge, but I like it a lot.
The addictive nature of these is so amazing. I mean, 10 times more powerful than Las Vegas is.
Okay, well then in that case, just because we're talking about kind of my generation and their addictive nature to these devices being phones, for anyone that can't see the video feed, if you were looking to hire somebody to join your digital media company today, you were considering someone straight out of college or someone in the younger millennial generation, what skills does he or she need to have for you to hire them? What are you looking for?
What am I looking for? Drive as one, self-starter, passion for something, whatever that is, a focus on people and compassion and interest in others rather than just self. That's another component of, I think, where we're headed right now is, and it's a risk with social media, is it's me, me, me. Look at me, and then now me. And while, again, it's a double-edged sword where there's a lot of good things about that, self-promotion and drive to be successful, I'm looking for people who are concerned about others and what's going on and are driven to have an impact in a way that's important to them. And then we'll decide if that's a good fit with my company. It may or may not be. But if you're passionate about something, even if it's not a fit with me, and I can see that passion come through and that desire to have impact on the world, I'm going to help you connect into the right people and the right company. And that's something I'm passionate about doing, about making sure people are in the right place. And again, you know, if I'm talking to you and you've got that, if you've got that passion, you've got that desire to make a difference, you're interested in other people, either it's a right fit with us and, you know, you're going to be part of the organization or I'm going to connect you into other people. What I don't want to see, that self-obsession and lack of starter drive. So like as an example, there's small little things. Follow-up. Can't tell you how many times, and that is a simple, easy indicator for any company head as to whether the person has a potential to be a good employee or not. You have a meeting and you don't do any follow-up, you don't do a thank you, that right there says so much. And so there are people, like I've got a guy who I've hired on right now on a project basis, he might become an employee sometime, that the reason I brought him in, even though he doesn't have subject matter fit with some of these projects, he's got the drive and he's got the focus on wanting to have an impact. He and I met randomly in a park. He was flying a drone, okay? And he was telling me how he was taking these shots of this area out on a lake, and he was going to go get his drone pilot's license. We started talking. I told him a little bit about my company. He ended up asking for a business card. The next day, I had an email from him saying, thanks so much for sharing information about your company. If there's ever an opportunity, please let me know. I'd love to talk with you. So we kept that conversation going. I didn't have anything for him right then. He then followed up a couple months later, said, hey, here's my situation right now. Just thought I would stay in touch. Let me know if anything comes up. Well, you know what? 2 weeks later, I did have something. And so that was the first project I pulled him in on. And just like I presumed, given his drive, he was awesome. He was a great fit. The rest of my team loved working with him. And we're continuing to do a lot of work together. And so those are the characteristics that I think are some of the softer, more nebulous things that are important to me.
That's awesome. I know I've said that's awesome multiple times in this interview, but that actually is awesome. I love hearing stories like that. I think it's a great inspiration for any generation that's looking for work or looking to pursue their passion or trying to figure out who they could work for potentially someday. It's really cool. The third quick fire question. Are you ready for this?
Ooh,
pretty excited.
I guess it's gonna be a zinger.
Oh my goodness. What do you believe needs to be sacrificed to become successful, if anything?
That's a really good question. There will be sacrifices. If you want to be successful, there will be sacrifices no matter what path you take. Sacrifices could be in the form of financial. Sacrifices could be in the form of time and ability to have free time. Sacrifices could be in the form of tied in with time a little bit and or location. your ability to be with the people that you want to be. So I did a 20 plus year career working for bigger companies, working for other people. There were different sacrifices I had throughout that career, time, financial, or around people. I worked when I was working for one of the larger companies I worked for, a multinational. I moved to London for 2 years and started up a new division over there. So the sacrifice for that was a phenomenal financial situation. It furthered my career, but I worked all the time and was in a foreign country with no family or friends nearby. So that was the sacrifice in that scenario. Take my last chapter a few years ago of my working for other people at Scout Media. It was a good situation, very, very good position for my career, compensated financially, but our daughter was at that time 1 and 2 years old. For those few years, I was traveling to New York or other places every other week. I missed so much of her growing up. And so I made the decision that I was going to start my own business, focus more locally or regionally, where travel became driving to Duluth, driving to Rochester, et cetera, and being able to do day trips rather than 2-3 week-long overnight trips to other cities. So that gave me ability to be with the family more. Now, what that does is when I made that decision, this is the first time I sacrificed financially significantly. In my mid-40s, started my own company. When I was a divisional executive making very good salary and bonus to going to nothing practically. My wife and I made the decision that was the right sacrifice to make. And then the next sacrifice for me in starting my own business, if your audience is looking at that, is you're going to have a dry period if you're building a business long-term. You're going to have financial challenges with that. And either you put your own finances forward or you go out and get investors. And Bobby, you know all about that. And then you just got to work your tail off 24/7. Over the last 4 years, I had to rebuild my entire business network. Because my network previously was nationally. I worked with Fortune 100 companies. I now changed my business model with my company to be regionally focused. So I needed to get the depth of my network in this region established because it wasn't to the level it was needed before. And that takes just out going out and beating the streets and networking and doing it face-to-face, not just digitally, but doing it face-to-face, meeting people. And so the sacrifice in that scenario, you know, if you're starting your own business, you're going to, in the short run, sacrifice financial and you're going to sacrifice time and you're just going to be working a lot. So it's really, I think it's really around those three things of time, finance, and family and friends. Which one of those is the factor that you're okay sacrificing in the short term for success?
Good answer.
Not an awesome answer, though.
I didn't want to say awesome again. I felt uncomfortable with the fact that I've dropped that word like 10 times in an hour. The fourth quickfire question, and this is the last quickfire question. What is one life hack our audience can apply to their lives this week, this very week, to become more successful? What is some actionable thing they can start to try to do that you recommend?
Think about what you want to do with your, let's say, next 5 years, either in your career or personal. Think of who one person is who could positively help you down that path. Put a plan in place today to figure out how you're going to get in front of that one person, to have a conversation, to tell your story. And it could be somebody that you feel like you have no business talking to that individual. They're so famous. It could be the guy next door. Whoever that is, put a plan in place and just say, you know what? I'm going to reach out to that person, even if I'm not comfortable doing this. And that's ideally what it is. Step out of your comfort zone. And I'm not talking about connecting with him or her on Facebook or on LinkedIn or starting to follow them on social media, sending them a text. Again, back to our theme here of digital media. Set the digital media aside. I'm saying put a plan in place, and it might involve one of those. So like as an example, I don't know if your audience uses LinkedIn a lot, but that's a great business tool. it could be reaching out to them on LinkedIn if there's somebody within an industry or space that you respect and you want to be part of, or you're part of today, but you're not where you want to be. That could be a good first contact. But make the priority of sitting down with them face to face over a cup of coffee or tea or what have you, and having a conversation and telling your story, and see if they can help you further that your objective. And that to me is one of the actionable things you could do now. Don't put a list together, just one person. Who is that one person? And take that first step this week to connect with them.
So that one person, we only have a couple minutes left here. That one person, is it someone that you're hoping to mimic, you're hoping to learn from, you're hoping to work for, or can it be all of the above?
Could be all of the above. Could be somebody that you see as a competitor for where you want to go eventually. This is one thing that has changed in recent years, I guess, and maybe it's just my mindset. In the past, I used to think, ooh, let's keep the competitors over here. I'm just competing with them. I'm not going to talk to them. When in reality, I've got good friends now who are competitors. And I'll be rather open. If you've got a good plan in place, I'll be rather open with them on what I'm doing with business. And that's a good thing. That could be a good thing. You never know when a competitor, a potential competitor, might become a partner, a mentor, or anything like that. So to your question, yeah, it could be any and all of the above. The important point is they have something that could be of value to you in terms of their knowledge. Don't sell yourself short and think, you know what, they're not going to be interested in me. That's not the avenue to go. You don't know what they'll be interested or won't be interested. And most people would love to talk to a young person who's got passion around whatever it is. So again, this person, if they're in the same industry, this person is someone you've admired. It's somebody you eventually want to take down because your offering is so much better. Any of those scenarios are good. And just, you know, connect with them and tell them why you want to meet with them.
Fantastic. See, look at that word I used. I used fantastic instead of awesome. Very exciting. So want to be respectful of your time. Want to wrap this thing up. But before we do, any quick plugs you want to make? Either ways people can reach out to you, where they should look for you online, how you want people to change their lives.
Sure. Probably the easiest would be if you're intrigued with modern carnivore, that's the easiest way to, and even if you're not intrigued with it, that's probably the easiest way to reach me. But you could check it out at modcarn.com. So that's M as in Mark, O, D as in dog, C as in Charlie, A, R, N as in Nancy.com. Those are interesting ways of doing the phonetic spelling. But so yeah, I'll hand out my email. If people want to reach me, they can reach me at monorquist@modcarn.com.
And we'll put all of that in the show notes as well, so anyone can take a look at that. So awesome. Thank you, Mark, for joining us on the show. It's a real fun time, and I'm happy you could hear me say awesome a bunch of times.
And we'll definitely... It's been awesome.
Oh, there we go. We'll definitely talk in the near future.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Master the Start. Some reminders from this podcast before we let you go. As Mark pointed out, connecting with an audience, whatever that audience may be, is all about delivering a clear, concise message while being true to yourself. Number two, this week, think of one person who will help you live your best life. This could be an influencer you've always admired from afar, a business mogul in an industry you're interested in, or a successful neighbor, so on and so forth. Do it this week. Create a plan of action of how you will reach this individual to help a personal relationship with yourself. Have a wonderful week, everyone. We can't wait for next week's show. It's going to be awesome. Trent Tucker's on the show. Basketball legend, NBA player, won a championship with the Bulls. So tune in next week. We're going to have a good one for you. And I hope you have a lovely 7 days ahead of you. Adios.